Welcome back to Hero Talk with Talix and Trev. I'm Talix.
And I'm Trev.
And today, we're getting foul, oh so foul, with Artemis Fowl. Okay, Trev, so what's something in just regular life that's made you smile recently?
Being able to watch the movie.
Okay, that was a good thing. I think that was really awesome, being able to watch the movie with the dress dropped. Thing that made me smile recently was when a waffle maker came, I was able to make some waffles, and I was able to use the two different types of jellies on my waffles. Delicious. And it made me smile. So, yeah.
So, now it's time for jokes. My joke is, what do you call a bad art teacher? Artemis Fowl.
Okay. It's okay. That one didn't land quite right, but I got one for you. Why did the duck get arrested?
Why?
Because it was suspected of foul play. Because ducks are fouls. All right, so now it's time for our favorite lines. Trev, what's one of yours?
Well, that's what I've been telling you. He's not short.
That was a good one. Okay, so my favorite line is, can I trust you? Yeah. Bop! Now you can trust me. All right, so who was the MVP for you for this movie?
Artemis Fowl.
Okay.
But not the main Artemis Fowl, the first one.
Okay, and why is that?
Because if he didn't write down all the stuff in a journal and say the poem all the time, then Artemis wouldn't have anything to go to. Just like, okay, well, we need to do this. 5 hours later, we have absolutely nothing.
Okay.
But that didn't happen because the other Artemis Fowl did a great job.
All right. I like that idea. As a matter of fact, that was going to be my very same choice. Just because he set everything up. Like, he told the stories, he gave the information, he gave Artemis all the tools that he did, and he was doing a great job of being, well, when he was there, he was doing a good job of being a dad to Artemis, and so that, like, it was a great job overall, and so I think that was awesome. So on that, I'll kind of piggyback off yours and go from just saying old Artemis to younger Artemis, because young Artemis is the one that put everything in motion. Like, true enough, Dad set it all up, but young Artemis was the one that had the vision and the quick thinking to be able to utilize all the things, and then also be able to basically bring all the other people onto his side. So that was pretty awesome.
Now it's time for our favorite costumes. Talix, do you have any?
Yeah, the fairy costumes, those were awesome. Although, I don't think I could have pulled off the translucent green just on me personally, but I thought that the costumes were awesome. The design of it, it was really cool. I liked it a lot. And it evoked the old fairy, because, like, when you think about fairies, like the old kind of fairies, they kind of like either have like leaves or things on, kind of like Tinkerbell or something like that. And so they kept the green color with the tunic kind of look, but at the very same time, they kind of updated it a little bit. So I think that was pretty awesome.
That was mine, except for I think I could rock any color except for blue.
Well, I mean, we could try to, but if they would have changed it I guess black really wouldn't kind of go reddish, like a dark blue for me. I think that would kind of be nice, like a nice color for that. So I think that was pretty cool. All right, so now it's time for our favorite setting. So Trev, what's your favorite setting in the show?
My favorite setting in the show is the inside of the time freeze when it was messing up. Because on the inside, it looked really cool and just went around.
Okay, I thought that was pretty awesome too. That did look really cool to have everything kind of like in stop motion. My favorite setting is, okay, you know I love beaches. And just kind of like the beach that was out there with the with the rush up against the rocks and the cliff faces and stuff like that. That was an awesome setting to me. I thought that, like, if I could have a castle, that's probably where I would put it at, on the edge right there, because that would be an awesome place to have it at. And you could go swimming, you could go fishing, you could just go out there and, like, watch the waves crush up against the rocks. That was an awesome setting to me. Also, not to mention, the Fairy City was pretty cool, too. Like, you know, like the headquarters where they had, like, the little, the doors that you can kind of go in and out of, and they had, like, the little ships. They were kind of cool. So, that was pretty cool setting as well. All right, now we're going to talk about our favorite scene. So, what was your favorite scene in this movie, Trev?
My favorite scene in the movie was when, it was actually the same as my setting, when they were getting sucked up. It was really cool and just, like, it's like it expanded and then it shortened and made everything look weird and out of proportion. It was cool.
Okay, that was pretty awesome. I think my favorite, I had a couple of favorite scenes, and I think it's kind of like the introductory scenes to a lot of different people. Like when they introduced Artemis and they showed how smart he was and like all the different cool things he did, or when they introduced Butler. And it showed how both of them were really awesome and great at fighting and being cool and smart and about stuff like that. And I thought it was cool when Artemis and Short decided to kind of work together, and when Short tried to utilize like the fairy hypnotism thing. Like, I thought that was a cool thing. So just kind of like the introductory sequences to everything, I thought was really cool. Like, I loved those scenes.
Now it's time for things that doesn't make any sense. Talix, do you have anything?
Yes, of course. It's all kinds of things that don't make sense. Okay, so my thing is, if you got something that can displace time and it shuts everything down, why doesn't it have a force field around it? Why don't it have any kind of shields? It got shot once, and then it was like, okay, this thing's going to fall apart. That seemed to be a lack of foresight in the design department, and that is terrible. That Centaur needs to kind of go back to the drawing board on that one, because that was way too easy to take that out. What about you, Trev?
Well, something that I thought that didn't make any sense, that at the wedding, when they used the time thing, time didn't move at all. Time didn't move at all, but when they did it at the manor, time moved a lot. It went over like 3 days.
Yeah, actually, I think I have an answer to that one, because okay, so when we saw it in the first movie, it was just a whole bunch of stuff, like the fairies were moving real fast back and forth and everything like that. But what I think is happening is just like what you just pointed out, how when they came back in the second on time they did it, how the time just kind of rushed past and it was like a couple of days passed by. So instead of it being a couple of days, it was just the night, the time, probably like maybe an hour or two that it took for them to get the troll and get it transported. And then once they left, they were moving at regular speed, but they were showing it to the perspective of like how a human would see it, which is not at all. Because they was moving that fast. Because if you're moving at regular speed and something else is frozen, it looks like you're moving at light speed.
Oh.
So that's what it was. And so it was just kind of like in that situation. And also, you got to think about it. Like, Artemis's house was set up to where they couldn't do, like, fairy stuff inside the house. Like, that was the rule set up.
I just don't get it, Cubone. We've been searching through this cave for hours now, and we still haven't found anything.
Cubone? Cubone, Cubone!
What's that, Cubone? You found something? What is it?
Cubone, 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 Cubone!
It's a podcast?
That's right, we have a brand new podcast out there just for you. Cubones and Catacombs is a 5e D&D TTRPG podcast set in the Pokemon region of Kanto. It's filled with a rich story, lots of laughs, original musical compositions, and best of all, it's fun for all ages.
What exactly do you mean by that?
Well, you know, it's like no swearing and no inappropriate content, things like that.
Ah, yes, of course.
Come join in the fun. Cubones and Catacombs, check it out now wherever podcasts are found. So like inside caves?
Well, no, like iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, things like that.
Stitcher? Isn't that someone who fixes clothes? Because let me tell you, I could use a Stitcher right now. This cloak of mine has seen better days, and a couple patches wouldn't hurt. Although, maybe it's beyond repair, and I should just get a new one. Cubone, do you like brown better, or should I...
Alright, so, Trev, what's something that you found funny in the movie?
That, I forget his name, but... he was really tall-ish, and he pretended to be small. And it was really funny. And they just kept going, "You're not small!"
Oh, Most Diggums? Yeah, it was funny. I actually have another scene. Like, what's funny to me was when Butler was just like, "All right, I gotta need my gun." And so he tries to pull his gun out. No, Short was like, "She's gonna need her gun," and then... Butler's going to pull the gun out, and he doesn't have it because he can't find it. And Most Diggums gives it to him because he's pickpocketing it, because that's what he does. He just steals everything. That was funny. That was really, really funny.
Now it's time for things that we thought were smart. Something that I thought was smart was everything. How everything was set up, how the characters acted, and the fact that they were smart enough to do things that not even like really smart adults could do.
Yeah.
And they're only 12.
Yeah, that's true. I think it was smart for the commander to have the captain that she put in charge to be a person that can kind of like make their own decisions. And I'm going to come back to that in a little bit later when we talk about threads and stuff. But that was something that kept her and saved everybody else, because if they let the other guy come in who was working with the bad guys, then everything would have went down negatively. But because the captain was able to say, "Hey, reinstate the magic," they were able to save Butler and to continue getting things going on in that direction and stuff like that. So that was definitely smart. And also, another thing that was smart, which it kind of goes back to my favorite thing about the costumes is everything like that, which was the utilization of the wings. Because normally fairies have wings, and so them having the jetpacks that had the wings within it was pretty smart. And another smart thing, it's a couple of things that was actually pretty smart within this movie as we're kind of going along. Another thing was the use of the storybook at the beginning to introduce all the different things. So it showed you a picture of a troll, it showed you a picture of a goblin, it showed you a picture of a fairy, and so you got to see all of those things before it even showed up in the movie. So it was like, okay, these are all the things in the world, and so now you don't have to be asking what's all in the world.
Now it's time for things we need. Talix, do you need anything?
Yeah, the helmet with the heads up display, that was pretty awesome, because it looked like it had infrared, glow in the dark, and all those other things that you could utilize, and it was like compact and lightweight. So I think, not the helmet. I want the 3D interface that the Centaur was using. Because imagine watching movies in actual 3D holograms. That would be so awesome. It would be less like, if say we watched Avengers Endgame, we would be there in the middle of the battle with Thanos. That would be so awesome. That would be so awesome. What's something that you think that we need?
Something that I think we need are those packs that you were talking about that had the wings. There's only one thing that I'd change, though.
What's that?
Making the wings stronger, because they seemed really fragile.
They were fragile, but they probably gave them really good maneuverability. Because yeah. Stronger wings, probably they could probably get, like you said, they would be stronger, but they probably wouldn't maneuver as well. Especially like in tighter spaces, like in houses and stuff like that. Actually, you know what? It's something else that I thought about that we could definitely utilize. And it was the weapon that had all those different things. Because it could be a bow, it could be a sword, it could be a shield, it could be just a blaster. It could be so many different things. And so like that was also something that was pretty awesome too. All right, so now it's time for debate this. So, Trev, the debate this week shall be whether or not Artemis did the right thing by building the alliance with the fairy and trusting her. What do you say?
Yes.
And why do you say that?
Because of how it would work out. Because if you were friends with the fairy, then you'd be able to trust the fairy more.
Okay, I can see what you're saying with that, but at the very same time, every time before he said that he wanted to work with the fairy was basically just like some, oh, I'm going to try to hypnotize you. I'm going to try to hypnotize you. And I think that the only reason that the fairy even complied for real, was because of the rules of the house. Like when he made her a guest of the house, the fairy couldn't do anything negative. So I think that it was more so because of the rules that were in place as opposed to it being a smart decision to trust the fairy.
You know what? I have nothing to support that. I have absolutely nothing other than the way it worked out that it was a good idea.
Yeah, it did. It did work out. I mean, sometimes the ends justify the means, but I think that in the moment of what they were doing, I think that it still should have been a situation where they didn't put so much trust in the fairy.
Actually, Artemis, being smart, knows that if the fairies can't get inside and do anything, then at the same time, they'd have to send somebody else to do it. So, with that, trusting the fairies at the moment was really part of his plan. So he might have not trusted the fairies, but with it being part of his plan, he had to do it.
So essentially, you're utilizing my stance of not trusting the fairy being part of his plan to trust the fairy. Yes. So it didn't matter whether or not he trusted the fairy. It's part of his plan to get somebody in there that could help him do what he needed to do.
Yep.
Yeah, you won that one. Hey, hit us up. Let us know who won this debate at herotalk@tt@gmail.com. Okay, so now it's time to kind of talk about the threads that we got, that we see kind of going on in the movie. And then the one major thread I thought that showed up within the movie was doing the right thing. And a lot of times, a lot of the characters that were in the movie, they kind of had to go off and do what they felt was right. And that sometimes clashed with whatever everybody else wanted to do. And I think that that's a very important skill to have. Sometimes you have to kind of go out on a limb and do what you know is right, as opposed to what everybody else is saying to you. There's this one comic in which Captain America is in, and he's talking about how sometimes you don't have a choice, but you have to kind of stand there. Even if the entire world is against you, you got to stand there and say, I know what is right. Right is right. And that's what we must follow. And in each of these cases, to where Officer Short, Artemis, and all these different people went about doing what they felt was right or what they knew was right, they ended up working stuff out. And so I think that when you do what is right, the things will work themselves out for you. And so that is what's important about everything in life. And so sometimes you're going to have people that are your friends and they're going to be like, well, let's go do this. And if you know that's not right, you didn't don't do that. You do what is right and things work themselves out. All right. So now it's time for super upgrades. So Trev, what's something that you would love to have upgraded within this movie?
Well, it hasn't had a lot of battle scenes, and I think it should have. And I think what would have been better is to encounter the person. But if that had happened, then there would be less likely for another movie.
Yeah, that's true.
But I also think that they could have done a little bit of like little extra scene showing like a first name or a last name.
Or just kind of like any kind of identifier?
Yep. anything. You could have said, okay, in short, or anything else. It could be anybody.
That's true. It could be anybody, but I feel that this is kind of like a Darth Vader reveal kind of a situation. To where it's just like, okay, this person, you know, okay, yeah, the person's not there anymore. So, of course, I think that it's Short that's the one that's within all this stuff. Like, yeah, she cleared her father's name, but it's something with Short, or maybe that it was like, it actually might not even be Short, but I think that he's got something to do within it or whatever. Or maybe it might not be that situation because they said, you know, you can go the same way as Short did. So that might be something that is completely different. But I feel like it's got to be some kind of relation, especially with how much emphasis was put on taking that person out. And then, on top of all that, I think that another thing that was needed to be upgraded on was kind of like, I think it really wasn't that many stakes within the movie. You know, it kind of felt like it wasn't anything that was like in danger, so to say. It always felt like Artemis, like he wasn't wrong ever, you know, which is cool, but it felt like it was never anything that was out of order that could have gone wrong. And so it kind of just felt like bland, kind of flat throughout the movie.
So it would be like Tony Stark, but he didn't make Ultron. In a way.
No, not even that. Like, even in the first Iron Man movie, he had to kind of learn how to be Iron Man. It was kind of like a development curve. But with Artemis, he was automatically smart as everything else. He automatically knew how to create all these plans and stuff like that, which it shows that his dad reached with him, but it just felt like it was just, even with his dad being in peril, it felt like, okay, everything's going to work out. Like, it never felt like, oh, this might not work out for him.
You're right.
Now it's time for Rated or Hated. So, Trev, from one reflective pair of shades to five, what do you give Artemis Fowl?
A godillion gabillion.
Why is that?
Because it was awesome. And because I loved it. And it had a lot of cool things in it. And it showed how fake things can make really cool real things.
Okay. I thought it was okay. I gave it like a 3.5. I think it was solid, but it wasn't great. But it wasn't terrible at the same time. So, I think it was alright. Alright, so now it's time for fun facts. Trev, did you have anything?
No, but I did have something that I noticed.
Okay.
Like you said, in, like, the, fairy base place, it had, like, the little floating towers that looked like rounded triangles at the bottom, like, cones. They reminded me of the robots near the end of, Star Wars The Force Unleashed 2.
Like the mouse droids?
In a way, like, there was a rotating platform of a whole bunch of platforms, and you jumped on to the robot when you were close enough, and then you jumped on the next set of platforms, and you kept going and going and going until you got to the top.
Oh, you mean Star Wars The Force Unleashed? Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
Two.
Okay. Fun fact for me was a couple of people have been in a lot of different other movies, such as like Judi Dench, which was the commander. She was in, James Bond and a couple of other things, as well as we can look at, Josh Gad, who was in the Beauty and the Beast movie. He was LaFoe. And also we can look at Colin Farrell, who's in a lot of stuff. He's in a ton of stuff, which is the dad, Artemis Fowl Sr., and one thing that he was in, he was Bullseye in the Daredevil movie. So it's quite a lot of things that the people have done in different movies and stuff like that. And I think that this movie in itself was kind of like supposed to be akin to a Harry Potter style movie. I think it kind of felt like that. That's what they were kind of going with. And so we'll see. I don't know if it's going to kind of hit in the same way as Harry Potter did, but we'll see if it kind of has that same growth. Okay, so we are wrapping everything up here. We want to say thank you for coming out and joining us, everything with us, being here with us. We know it was a while since we did our last episode, but, you know, the world's kind of doing a lot of things going on right now, so we wanted to kind of take a break to get everything kind of together and make sure that we had everything going okay with us. We want it to be a situation where all of you guys are doing well, so hopefully if you're out there, you're doing well and you're feeling great and you're feeling good. We recently have, actually, one of the things that kind of delayed us from doing the episode is that we started a YouTube channel. And if you look up the video, when little wizards are sneaking snacks, you will see us there. Like, share, subscribe, leave us a nice comment. Hit the notification bell. Keep that thing ringing so that way you keep up with us on our new YouTube ventures that we're going to be going on and working on, because I have a lot of great ideas and it's going to be really funny. And I think that video in itself is really funny. We have a Twitter, which is at HeroTalk1. We have a Gmail for you to email us, which is at HeroTalkTT@gmail.com. We have an Instagram at HeroTalkTT. All of the links and everything will be in the description, as well as the link to our YouTube video, and that way you can follow us there. And I believe that is all of our social things. We're going to continue to try to add a couple more episodes over the summer and everything like that, because we are looking forward to doing a couple of things. One thing that I know we're going to eventually get to is we're going to do a Naruto video, or not a Naruto video, but a Naruto episode, which is going to kind of like cover all of Naruto, because it's kind of like Trev has been kind of going through the episodes, and so that's going to be something that we got coming up in the near future. And that is, I think that's it. So this has been Hero Talk with Talix and Trev. I'm Talix.
And I'm Trev.
Because when there's a hero,
we talk.